think now it's on. Sorry. Some related passages, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, a believer's part, we can, as I broke down the verse and recreated it, it's shown true to have a believer's part and God's part. And what is our part? You are instructed to cast your troubles and hardships on the Lord. You are instructed to cast your troubles and hardships on the Lord. So, cast actually means throwing something, tossing, throwing, flinging, pitching, hurling, lobbing, or chucking. It's not just a simple little fling, but if you picture, I'm thinking of like a musky fisherman throwing out a musky lure. You really have to use your whole body to do it. Burden, the next word. A load, especially heavy load, as we saw in the first picture that I threw up there. Cargo, freight. An example, they shouldered their burdens. So, can burdens be of our own making? Or is it also always external? Well, it can be of our own making. How does believers get in trouble? Well, embellishing themselves in the world. What do you think the first thing that comes to mind when you get some free time? What do you do? Where do you go? How many of us open the Bible? And I know I'm guilty of that. What trips your trigger? Ask yourself, does this thing that I'm doing make me a better Christian or doesn't it? 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So flee youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness. If we get away from worldly thoughts, worldly people who may bring you down, God says flee from these things. You may be praying about something and you may be casting your cares upon him, but are you reeling them back in? What happens to a musky fisherman's arms? They get tired, don't they? Compare that to someone who's just throwing out a bobber, just hanging it out there and sitting and watching. We can compare that how we do our cast our burdens on the Lord. So, question, are you actually reeling in your anxieties? So on your handout, you are not to reel the anxieties back in. When we cast our burdens on the Lord, you are not to reel the anxieties back in. You may ask, isn't worry actually good for you, though? I mean, on Pastor Stein out here, he says, why pray when you can worry? It's a good statement, making one think. But the answer, as you know, is not. So, on your handout again, God's part, he shall sustain you. He shall sustain you. Sustain, in the verb form here, strengthen or support physically or mentally. This thought has sustained him throughout the years as an example. Her memories of him sustained her. The word literally means to measure, then to contain and hold. Like if you're going to cook something, you go in the kitchen, you're measuring something very carefully. It's there. If you carry this thing over somewhere else, you're sustaining it. You're taking good care of it. You don't want to spill it. And that's the sense what God does for us. He sustains us. Here it means that God would give such a measure of strength and grace as would be adapted to the duty or a trial, as such as would be sufficient to bear us under it Comparing 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, mostly gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me." All our burdens removed, are they all removed when we give them to the Lord? Not necessarily. Sometimes he decides you may need this trial longer, or you may be actually be reaping what you've sown in life. The most content people are ones who are walking with the Lord. Perhaps your burden is unwelcome and very unpleasant. Perhaps it's some physical ailment. Maybe you wake with it every day. Perhaps it's some prolonged labor, a crappy job. What then? What will God do with you? He shall sustain you. And you have to read that and meditate upon that thought. God will sustain us. Number two, he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Permit here is actually the verb form giving authorization or consent. Consent of someone to do something. Actually, this, did you know this is a little troublesome? Or anyway. Yeah, it could be, eh? That's all right. I think what I'll do is reach down. Okay. We'll get it. Okay, so permit. Do you know God does permit things without his permission? Think of him when he was with Job. Satan was unable to do and move and affect people without God's permission. Synonyms of this is allow, authorize, give permission to, grant, empower, enable, entitle. So he will not permit the righteous to be moved, and that's a fact. The meaning here cannot be that the righteous shall never be moved in the sense that your circumstances may not change to your liking, or that your plans will not fail, or that you will never be disappointed. You won't get what you want. But instead, whatever trials may come upon you, no matter how awful, you know you can be ultimately saved with God. As he says, he will sustain you. Righteous. The Greek word here, Dikios, or in the Hebrew back in Psalms, is actually tzaddik. It's an adjective form, meaning just, or lawful and righteous, morally right. The next word we have here, important in this verse, is moved. Change or cause a change from one's state of opinion, sphere. I like the ones I bolded there. Change one's mind. He will not allow the righteous to have second thoughts. And if you do those things, it's in your own making. He won't allow us to be disturbed, shaken, or unsettled in one's faith. We won't be tossed to and fro, in a sense. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I have nowhere else to go." Question, have you been there? I know I have. And have you done that? Got down on your knees before the Lord, mentally in a sense? Some people only use the Lord in emergencies and use him as a spare tire to be used in times of trouble. Don't do that. Can we burden the Lord and come to him too many times? No. The more often, the more welcome, actually. Heavy burdens, one of the heaviest burdens involving wrong choices in life, having to do with giving in to temptations from Satan. And there's also a burden of sin and corruption. Maybe you're caught up in drug use, gambling, alcohol. Maybe you're stuck in a rut, a burden of loneliness, a burden of work, overloaded yourself with work because things aren't pleasant at home. Are you casting these burdens on the Lord? Cast it on God. Leave it to Him to deal with it in your own way, in His own time, in His own way. Commit these things to God, bad habits, your full box of whatever. If you do, then you can rest in His promises, His providence. And if we do so, God will carry us in His arms, His power, like a mother carrying a baby. And He will strengthen our spirits in the Spirit, and you will be sustained in the trial. Here's a promise. He will never allow the righteous to be moved. And if you're given it to the Lord, you will not be shaken by the trouble as by one being shaken. It is possible to experience God and His comfort. So, Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Romans 12:9, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay. The reason why I included that is what comes to mind is burden. Sometimes you ever just want to see someone gone or die. Think of David. I thought of David always being pursued by Saul in the wilderness. I mean, how many of us through life have wanted someone to die and our life would be better? But here's David. He was allowed to, as struggling in the wilderness, in fact, I think it's important. Let's, 1 Samuel 26. Let's turn there. 1 Samuel 26. This is in the context where Saul's in the wilderness, or David's in the wilderness, Saul comes up, and some of David's spies finds out what's going on, and they're all asleep, so David comes up. Let's start in verse 9. But David said to Abishai, do you not destroy him? For who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed? So that's what he said when his guard wanted him to kill Saul. Sleeping, and a spear was right there. David said, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he should go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed, but please take now the spear and the jug of water, and let's go. And so when he did, he basically then called out, he went away, called out to Saul, hey, Saul answered back and was humbled. So again, vengeance is God. We have burdens, we have problems. Give them to the Lord and let God handle those situations. So, in conclusion, I'm not going to advance to the rest of the slides. Cast your burdens on the Lord. He will sustain you. That's a principle in the Bible we need to live by. So let's bow our head in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your love, your principles in the Bible. We know life is short and eternity is long. Help us keep our eyes on you, and you will direct our path straight. In Christ's name, amen.